Hey, hey, what you say? This is Pastor Ethel Harper. This is the Old Fashioned Gospel Radio Show. It is so good to be amongst the living today. I just thank God that we have another chance to get it right. Amen. Well, praise God. We got a great show today. I am blessed, amen, to have my biological brother with me. His name is Brother Glenn Rogers. Say hello to the people, Glenn.
Good afternoon, good morning, wherever you may be. Great to be here. Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. My sidekick, who is normally with me, that is Gentleman Elder Harper. They changed his hours at work, so he no longer is going to be with us. But I just thank God for the opportunity. Anyhow, amen. Nevertheless, we're going to keep on going. But before I get started, I want to do a little housekeeping and get it out of the way with our public service announcements. Old Fashioned Gospel Temple Ministries is located at 1303 D Street, right here in the beautiful city of Las Vegas. Our church services are on Sunday. They begin at 9 a.m. with Sunday school. Bring out your kids, bring your neighbor's kids, bring everybody's kids, bring them out to Sunday school. We have a great lesson teacher, which is wonderful, which is our very own gentleman, Elder Harper. He does it very well. And our worship services begin every Sunday at 11 a.m. We look forward to seeing you at both services if you can make it. We have a Bible study, which is on Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m., and then we have our Inspiration Bible Study, which is every other Thursday. It's the first and third Thursdays of the month at 10 a.m. in the morning. For those of you who can't make this Wednesday nights, we do have the Thursdays. On February 6, 2021, we will have our annual What's Love Got to Do With It program, where we honor our first responders of Las Vegas who put their lives on the line each and every day as they fight for our communities and neighborhoods and citizens of Las Vegas during this COVID-19 experience. Old Fashioned Gospel Temple Ministries will be offering our first responders free donuts and coffee at Fresh Donuts. It's at 2100 East Lake Mead Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada. We will be out there at 7 a.m. in the morning. We'll go from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. For those of you that are interested, tell your family members, tell your friends that we will be honoring our first responders with fresh donuts and coffee. They're right across the street from the Chipotle Mexican restaurant, if anybody is interested. We are asking that you please join us and help us make this event happen on February 6th. How can you help? I'm glad you asked. You can help by going to one of three ways you can donate to help us recognize our first responders. You can go to our Cash App, which is $OFGTM2018, or you can go to our Zelle app, which is 502-715-1615, or you can go to our website, which is www.OFGTM2018. wixsite.com/website-1, and you can use either three of them to give your best gift. We really thank you for helping us do what it is that we do. Amen. This has been the Old Fashioned Gospel Temple Ministries radio public service announcement. Thank you for listening. Now back to our program. We have our special guest, amen, which is my brother, from the same mother, Glenn Rogers, with us today, and I am so excited that he is with us today. He's going to, he's got five questions, amen, and God is going to use him mightily to speak to you, our listeners. We need to be mindful. I often say now that God is speaking to the entire world. You can't mistake it. You can't You can't say that God is not trying to get our attention. It took the COVID-19 experience for us to wake up. And for those of you that are not heeding the call, for those of you that are not paying attention, it is our duty to get you to understand that God is trying to tell us something. Anyway, so I've already gone over with my brother these questions. And so for you, the listeners, I am going to ask him questions. I'm going to ask him a series of 5 questions, and then we're just going to talk about it. And I hope that it blesses somebody, that it touches you to change your heart, your mind, and even your life. I hope that it does. All right, brother, you ready?
Oh, yes, I am.
All right, bro. The first question that we talked about is, how did God use you in 2020 to change someone's life? You have the floor.
Thank you, my sister. First of all, I just want to give glory and honor to God for the opportunity to talk with you and, you know, to share. And
amen.
You know, I just prayerfully ask for the Lord's leading in this discussion. And because you know me, my sister Ethel, if I may call you Ethel, in front of your peeps.
Yeah, you can.
You know, my journey, speaking to 2020, getting directly to your question, at the end of or the latter part of 2019, the Lord led me to move churches, and I went from a kind of a prestigious, you know, kind of big or growing ministry, and I joined forces with a smaller upstart, you know, down in the trenches, lower socioeconomic level ministry, you know, where you really get to do the work down on the, you know, where the rubber meets the road. And it was quite an experience for me, but I believe it's something that the Lord was leading me into, because I recognized, again, with changing people's lives, also being a teacher, you know, and God having drawn me to his word and embraced me and even immersed me in his word in such a way is that I found out years ago that just about everybody that God sends across my purview, across my faith, that I have an opportunity to talk with or build a relationship with or work with, it's for a specific reason. It's to speak God's word into their life in a way that hasn't been done previously. So in 2020, man, did I get an opportunity to do that as I joined forces and became part of this new church, which is called Regen, R-E-G-E-N Ministries in Bakersfield, California. My pastor is Pastor Rick Lancaster. You can look him up on, look us up on Facebook. But yeah, it was just a whole new dynamic. And actually, this is a ministry that the roots in the foundation, as I got started, I noticed that this ministry was made up, Pastor, as basically the genesis or the focal point of this ministry was ministering to those at the lowest end of the not just the socioeconomic ladder, but to the people. We minister to people that other churches kind of ignore, and I'm talking about people with disabilities and things of this nature, you know, that society considers not all there, or that, you know, they need help. And but this ministry flourishes in bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people, and it's, and the love that I saw that was expressed originally between these folks and the pastor just drew me to it. And having been drawn in, you know, I've had an opportunity to then step up and take the mantle of teaching in the ministry and to open God's word for these people and to just shepherd them and the changes in their lives. And even as we speak to today, there's a, you know, one of our brothers in the church, we were at the pastor's house one night as we gathered there, and he made a impassioned plea. He wanted to understand the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. And now we meet online. I do a Zoom Revelation study, and we've been meeting Mondays and Tuesdays for the past couple of months going through the book of Revelation to help him get a greater understanding. And, you know, it's things of that nature, you know, that are beautiful. In addition to, you know, when you talk about changing someone's lives, ours is a ministry that on a weekly basis and sometimes multiple times a week, we are engaged in food distribution, working with Kern County and the larger nonprofits here where we are available to gather and food and then distribute it into the neighborhoods where the need is most. And, you know, we'll just take a couple of truckloads of food or a pallet of food and just go park out and on a corner and just start blessing people, you know.
And it's amazing. What a blessing.
We have had several of the families that we've blessed with this ministry begin attending our fellowship. So
that's what it's all for, right?
Exactly. It's just, you know, so it's hard to quantify specifically, but just the sharing of the word. And there's some other real special relationships and things going on in the way, but we are all, I'm sure you agree, Pastor, that we are all commissioned. The Great Commission is not just to pastors. It's not just to people who call themselves ministers or apostles or evangelists, right? The Great Commission is to every single person in the faith, every Spirit-filled believer, right? Is appointed by the Great Commission. We are appointed to go out and make disciples.
That's it.
And so I just want to.
But you know, I like when you said that, you know, your pastor, you know, speaks to, you know, those that people have overlooked. You know, we forget that, you know, the Bible, you know, talks about in Psalms 147 and 3, it says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You know, we forget about those. Sometimes we, you know, push people to the wayside because they don't look like us. They don't, you know, they're not in the same, you know, they're not in the same money cap with us, or, you know, they're not afforded the things that we are. And sometimes these people get lost. You know, they get lost in translation, but, you know, it's so good, you know, that your pastor has a heart for that, and that's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's they call awesome them. Thing that you guys do, you know, it's great.
They're oftentimes referred to as people with special needs, but what we don't realize is that we all have this special need. We're all a special need.
I say, you know, I always say that, you know, all of us have a little special K on the inside, okay?
Come on now.
All of us, right?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
So that's great. Now we're going to move on to question number two. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this says, how would you define your relationship with Jesus in 2020? How would you define it? How would you get the listener to understand what your relationship looked like in 2020?
Well, first of all, and again, let me go directly to the point, and I would like to I prayerfully say that I definitely hope that my relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus on December 31st of January 2020 was greater and deeper and more intimate than it was on January 1st, which would indicate progress, okay? Or progressive, this thing we call in the faith, progressive sanctification, right? You know, I definitely hope, and I know I'm still growing. You know, I'm still growing. I've got so much, you know, I believe that the Lord has so much more for me to do. You know, I believe that if you kind of summarize, you know, my life, you know, having recently turned 60, is...
Are you that old? Wow. I forget that I'm way down here on the totem pole. I forget how old my big brother is.
Well, yeah, it's kicked over. So, you know, I see my life as 40 years of religion, okay? But the last 20 years of being in God's Word. And there's a big difference between just doing things that one considers, you know, religious, you know, going to church and so forth, and totally separate from being immersed and pursuing the things of God through His Word. And, you know, He has brought me so It is so amazing, and I would encourage everyone, you know, to undertake for yourself personally. You want to be intimate with Jesus. You want to know Jesus intimately for yourself. You got to open up His Word each and every day, you know. And I can say for me, I'm going to take that question, my sister, and I'm going to expand it. Not just from 2020, but for the last 20 years, because it was about 20 years ago that I was gripped, that God shook my life in such a way as to draw me. The only place to go was to Him and to His Word, not to church, but into His Word. My journey back to Him began not by just going to church. Mine began by opening up and reading His Word, and as I read God's Word, that launched in me, it motivated me to begin to pray, because you cannot read God's Word and not see the need, the necessity, and the priority of prayer. And then that ultimately led to, I believe, and this is just how God has made us. You know, and His Word says to forsake not the fellowshipping of ourselves together. And there was born in me a desire for fellowship. And so I eventually did end up in church at the beginning of my journey. But it started with just me and the Word of God, and then me and the Word of God in prayer, and then me and the Word of God, prayer, and the fellowship, and brothers and sisters, you know, of a church gathering. So... you know, my encouragement there is if you want your relationship, if you want that continuing, growing, thriving relationship with Christ, that comes from just being in God's Word. And when you're in God's Word, that arms you. It is God's Word where we get armed with the necessities of prayer. Because the power in prayer, the power in God's Word is felt when you understand that this is a God. When you understand who God is, truly understand, you have an intimate relationship that this is, He is your Father, Abba Father, and He wants the best for you, and that's all that He wants. And you know that Jesus even told us, ask. Whatever you will.
That's right.
But understand. But it's not your, when He says ask whatever you will, that's not your will. Okay. He doesn't, you know, if you think If you think that what you want for you is better than what he wants for you. And see, that's that. You can ask whatever you will, but when Jesus said, but you have to ask according to what? In his name, right?
That's it.
So those two things have to line up, right?
That's right.
So you need to get your will.
No. But then also it says, not only that you ask what you will, but he also said, believing that you'll receive it. And so that's the thing that, you know, we have a problem with, is that we pray, but do we really believe that God is able to do what we're asking him to do? And that's the question. Because when you solidify it and say, in Jesus' name, then that's the, you know, that's the seal of approval when you say it. If you believe it, if you ask for it, you believe it, and then you ask for it in Jesus' name, he said, then ye shall what? Have it. And so that's the thing. But, you know, until the question
Now, I hope your people will realize we're just having a brother-sister talk now, okay? And that's that dog chasing that tail. That's another, that for me, I'm just seeing now the picture of the dog chasing his tail, round and round, and he never catches it. And when you bring that belief into there, Ethel, and I will say that the reason most people have that challenge with belief is because they haven't lined up the will of God, which comes from his word, it's revealed to us in his word, with their will. They still want they want, not what God wants, but they pray anyway.
Yeah.
Believing that God is going to... Exactly. And that's just like the dog chasing his tail, you know?
Yeah. You know, I mean, but, people think that there's not a, you know, that there's not a cost, you know, in what they're asking for. But, you know, there really is. You have to line up with the word of God. I teach at Old Fashioned Gospel Temple Ministries that the word of God is the sustenance of life. And so when you look at it that it's a sustenance of life, then you understand that, you know, we often talk about that you can go 3 days without food. You can go, you can go 3 days without food. You can go 40 days without water. We talk about all these things about what we can do. But one thing that we cannot do, the word of God is the sustenance of this life. We must have it in us in order for us to live. And in order to be a believer, you have to believe that this word is the sustenance of your life, that you need it to live. And so, you know, it's really important, you know, as far as a relationship with the Lord. The only way that we're going to get a relationship with him is through what? Through his word. You know, because we're reading it, you know, we're taking it in. And then when we take that word in, it becomes a part of us. And it's doing a good work in us, you know, which is what it's supposed to do. You know what I mean? So anyway, you know, great. You know, it's just a great subject when you talk about the relationship, your relationship or anyone's relationship with the Lord, you know, because we know that, you know, in order to live, you must live on the word of God.
You must. I look back early on as I was getting started in this journey, I remember praying to the Lord, wanting, desiring that closer relationship. And I asked him to give me a hunger and a thirst for his word.
Yes.
Just like you just said, the hunger is because the word, that manna, is the bread of life. And the thirst, it's that water that washes us each and every day, that we have to be washed and purified each and every day in that word. So, you know, I would just encourage everyone listening that if this is just like the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, you must ask, okay?
Yeah.
Ask. And like James says, ask. You want to seek, you want the wisdom of God's word? Ask God, believing Ask God to give you a thirst and a hunger for his word.
Yeah.
And watch what happens. Watch what happens. Believing. Pick up your word and start reading and see if the things that maybe were dry before now are energized and become infused with the Holy Spirit and just wanting where you want more and more and you just can't get enough. And you'll find yourself then not having enough time, you know, to get into God's office. So it's there. And I'm excited about leading people to God's word. And, you know, that's what my SoundCloud ministry is about. And if you don't mind us to put a little shout out on the internet at soundcloud.com. I have a ministry there. It's called Listen to the Bible. So if you go to soundcloud.com/listen to the Bible, people can join me. Go through the Bible each and every day. We listen to portions of the Bible, the Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs, each and every day.
That's a beautiful thing, bro. We need that. We need that today. We need to get back into the Word of God. We need to find our first love. That's something that people don't take into account. You know, you have these older Christians who say, you know, oh, I accepted the Lord a long time ago. You know, all I got to do is just, you know, come to church, you know,
and read have my never Bible, picked up a Bible
person,
and have never picked
you know,
up the word
and be a good person. And, you know, I'm going to be all right. But that's not true. You know, we have to do so much more,
but the much more can be defined as simple as the word in your question is relationship, right? And now we know that in order to have a relationship with someone, you have to spend time with them.
That's it. Well, you know, we take for granted the intimacy with God. You know, we take for granted that God said he wants to be closer than a friend to you. And so the only way that you can get that closeness with him is that if you are intimate in the word with God. And how does that happen? By us taking the time. We make time for everything else in our life, but are we taking the time to sit down and have intimacy with God through his word? And not only read his word, but let the word begin to speak to you. You know, and that's the prize in you having a relationship with the Lord. You allowing, not only you seeking out him, but then you turning around and allowing the word to speak to you. You know, that's...
Well, I don't know if this is going to help anybody, but for myself personally, I am one who learns audibly. I'm a listener. And that fact, combined with the fact that even 20 years ago when I'm in the hustle and bustle of married life with children and a job and so forth, I mean, I think that we learn and we have to accept that people's number one reason / excuse for not reading the Bible is lack of time. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, yes.
But
I mean,
today,
yes.
For the last, 30 years, 40 years, with the advancement of digital recordings, the excuse of time, has been taken away. As a matter of fact, my introduction to the Word came when a friend of mine handed me a CD disc with the Bible on it, and I start popping that disc into my computer and listening to God's Word.
Yeah.
And that listening. Now, understand that you can listen to God's word when you're in the bathroom, brushing your teeth, washing your hair, taking a shower, doing the laundry, doing the dishes, driving in your car, home from work, to work. There's almost nothing you can't do while listening to God's word and allowing the Holy Spirit, the spirit that comes with God's word, to just envelop I even when I lived in an apartment complex for a while, I turned on the volume, put God's word in the window, and so that it would envelop the whole apartment complex. And I dared somebody to complain, and nobody ever complained. And whenever you came in the presence in that complex, you got God's word.
That's beautiful. That when we had our church here, when we had our church in our home, people used to come by all the time, you know, and they would tell us, "Oh, you have a church in there." The stuff that they used to do, like, you know, they used to play that loud music, and they used to do a whole lot of stuff. When they found out that the church was here, you know, it kind of just calmed this whole area down. You know, which was beautiful.
Yes.
You know, which was beautiful. Yes. So, but, you know, I just thank God for him doing what he was doing in that hour, you know, for, you know, whatever that, you know, these people around here needed. I just thank God, you know, that, you know, he, through his Holy Spirit, worked a good work, you know.
That's so, that power.
That was
That's
great.
The power of the Holy Spirit.
Oh yeah,
he is powerful.
All right, my brother, I gotta keep you I gotta keep you going, because we at 1:30. I want to make sure we do what we have to. Now, question number 3 says, how would you describe your prayer life in 2020?
Well, again, for the benefit, I mean, it's just become richer. You know, I can tell you how I ended up 2020. Wake up in the morning. Listen to this, okay? I don't know if you guys going to be able to hear this, but as I open my eyes in the morning and I get my wits about me, I go like this. Hey, Google, play House of Prayer.
Okay.
Listen.
Playing on YouTube Music.
Hey, Google, turn the volume up to 10. Can you hear it?
No.
Sing it with you. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. A house of prayer. Hey, Google, stop the music. So they give you an idea.
So, I mean, that's great. You know, that's great.
I wake up,
you know,
with my mind right there.
I just, you know, it's so important that people out there, that they understand that we have to have a prayer life. You know, we got to have a prayer life, because, you know, the Bible talks about, bringing our prayers to the Lord, you know. It also talks about, you know, that, you know, prayer of an effectual, you know, fervent
prayers of the righteous availeth much.
You know, so, you know, it's so important that we understand that prayer is how that we talk to God. Prayer is how we communicate, you know, prayer, you know, and you don't have to pray. You know, the Bible talks about that a man should always pray. I say to the women out there, you should always be praying. If you have children, pray, you know. Pray for the covering, you know, of the Holy Spirit over your children. Pray for God's protection, you know. It's so important for us to pray. And sometimes we can allow the things of life, or we can allow the world to strangle out our prayer life, that it becomes non-existent. And,
well,
I encourage everybody to get a prayer life. You know what I mean?
Well, there's a couple of things that have to be in place for that prayer life, to operate, you know, in a manner that produces, you know, that in a manner of that fervency, you know, and that effectualness. And that is first and foremost, is you got to have an attitude of thankfulness. You got to be thankful to God. You got to understand, you're driving down the street and somebody pulls in front of you, but it doesn't result in an accident. Thank you, Lord.
That's
it. You know, you're driving in the parking lot going to shop and you get a parking space up front. Thank you, Lord. You know, you wake up in the morning and everything is working right. Thank you, Lord. You see your other family members in the house. Thank you, Lord. You sit down to eat a meal. Thank you, Lord. You take a breath. Exhale. Thank you, Lord. You know, it's having that attitude of gratitude. But this life is such, with all the things that come at us, you're exactly right, Ethel. It's designed to suck that life out of us.
Yeah.
So one thing we have to maintain is that attitude of gratitude, understanding that as long as we're alive, God is keeping us alive, and we got to be grateful for that. But then again, this question goes back to the previous one. Because in addition to that attitude of gratitude and being thankful in all things, at all times, you also, God wants his promises. We oftentimes find ourselves, let's be honest, praying for things, right?
Yeah.
Everybody pray, everybody, you know, now we have to not make the mistake of seeing God as like this big genie in heaven, you know, or slot machine in the sky. You know, we have to avoid that, but understand this. Why do you want to have that proper relationship with God through his word? Because it is in his word that you'll find his promises. It is in his word that you will see where he says what he wants to do for us or has already done for us.
That's it.
And only when you know what's in his word, when you know those promises, and only when those promises, not only, it's not just knowing, though. Let me get this right. It's not just knowing, because when it comes to the things of God, okay, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
In the book of James, it says that the demons know God. The demons knew Jesus when they saw him, right?
Nah.
But they didn't believe in him. That didn't save them, right?
That's right.
So it's more than the knowing. It's much more than the knowing. You have to know what's in God's word. The only way you can know that is by reading it. But then that comes your word from previous conversation. You have to believe it. When you know it and you believe it and you make it yours, now we have to activate it. And that's as simple as the asking. We have to put it into action. And that's what prayer is. That's what God wants us to do. He says, I'm here. And guess what? The cattle on a thousand hills are mine.
That's what he said.
I can give you the authority to tell that mountain to go fall in the sea, and it will. I can give that authority to you if you will only have faith.
If you will only have faith.
The faith of a mustard seed. If we would just have faith in our prayers. But again,
of the grain of a mustard seed. Right.
So if we will just, but where does that faith come from? That faith comes from being in God's word, from not only knowing God's word, but believing God's word and operating in God's word. And then God's word becomes part of us. And when we understand that the God who we pray to heaven, but guess what? The prayer to heaven is made by the God that's in us.
Oh, yeah.
The God that's in us prays to the God that's in heaven. God cannot deny himself. In the name of the one who stands beside the throne, when we bring that and we understand that these are really what God's laws and what his promises are in his word, so many times they're given to us in the form of a petition, or if you understand the laws that he's given us, if we pray them in the form of a petition and we see a courtroom setting, and when you are in legal right standing and you bring a legal petition to the court, to the throne, and you have the counselor, your counselor is Christ, and you bring it through him in his name, you can't help but get a judgment for the plaintiff.
Nothing.
You know, I wanna say about prayer. You know, I had a friend, and she called me, and anytime that somebody says pray with me, the first thing that I begin to do is, you know, I begin to talk to the Lord. I say, Lord, you know, let the words that are spoken, that Father God, that, you know, it come from you. You know, don't let my flesh get in it. Because anytime that we let our flesh get in it, then it's all messed up, it's impure, it's spotted, it ain't good. So she asked me to pray for her about something, and she needed a right now prayer for a right now situation. And I thank God that I was able that, you know, God used me at that point and at that moment that we said a prayer, and immediately, like not it took, you know, days to come to pass. It was immediate. And I see that when you line up with the word, when you line up with the will of God and, you know, what God has for you, that there's nothing that you won't ask for that God, you know, he won't give to you. You understand what I mean? And so I just thank God. I thank God for that knowledge. I thank God that it takes the belief. It takes in us knowing that if we just believe that we're praying about, if we believe that God is able to do what his word says that he can do, and that's, you know, God asked the question. He said, is there anything too hard for God? No, there's not. There's no situation in life that, you know, God can't perform what you're asking him. If you ask him, you know, rightly, if you ask him, you know, within the will of God, if your life, if you are lining up with what God has for you, or God, you know, wants for you, or, you know, some of us forget. We've got to go to him in a specific way, and you said it, that if we go to him as if that we're in a legal, you know, in a legal courtroom, you know what I mean? We forget that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We forget, you know, that he is the Almighty. You know,
He is the judge. That's why the Holy Spirit, Christ.
We forget, you know, he's the supreme, you know, he's supreme. There's nobody but him. You know, God, the Bible tells us that he has no beginning and he has no end. And so, you know, when we begin to look at him like we should, you know, when that we begin to line up, you know, and get in right fellowship, when we begin to, you know, allow him to be the Lord and Savior of our life, there's a lot of things that he will unlock for us. But, you know, you just can't come to God haphazardly and think that, you know, because that you've come, you know, asking him for something haphazardly and not, you know, surrendering, you know. Come on.
That's the key. Now, the key there is this. The key there is this, okay? Now, in a perfect scenario, when at the point of salvation occurred as we surrendered, and if we got it perfect from that point on, we'd stay surrendered. Now, the next point is about our walk, about our obedience. But the fact of the matter is that nobody is 100% obedient 100% of the time. So therefore, what must accompany our prayers then is what? Confession.
Okay? There it is.
Contriteness.
I love you, but I got to keep you on course, cuz we'll be on one subject all day, and I love you, bro.
we're not talking about being surrendered. We have transitioned.
Yeah, that's the fourth question, okay? Were you fully surrendered in 2020?
And the only way to surrender is to look at yourself and recognize your need. And the need is the need. In looking at oneself, we must realize, oh, God, I have sinned before you. Forgive me, please. cleanse me, wash me. A broken and a contrite heart, you will not despise. So we got to come to God, and we have to get right. You want your prayers answered? Get right, get back in right relationship has so much to do with the answering of prayers. We think that we can stay dirty, that we can come to the throne dirty, that we can offer our offering while we're yet dirty. That just doesn't work. That's not, go to read the Old Testament, get the vibe from all of the principles and the precepts from the temple. No, we don't have to kill animals and shed blood anymore, but the principles and the precepts are still there, and they're in play.
And you got to get in, you know, in order to get in right fellowship, right? In order to get in right fellowship, I heard one preacher say on TBN, he said, when I realize that I have sinned, I try and get right back in right fellowship with the Lord, because that's what it's about. You know, surrendering is getting into right fellowship.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You know, and that's, you know, that's what it's all about, you know.
Living a life surrendered to who? What's this? Now, surrender doesn't mean, you know, that surrender is going to take on, it's going to take on whatever perception you want to give it. Now, most often, if you live over here in America or in the West and you hear the word surrender, you see surrender as a losing proposition.
Right.
So nobody wants to surrender. It's alien to us, and it's not something we comfortably embrace. But we must embrace.
But listen, not only that, when you talk about surrender, listen, that puts us in I'm not in control status. That's the thing that we don't want to not be in control. That's the thing. And God is trying to get us to see, listen, It's all about you surrendering your will to Him.
Uh-huh.
It's all about you surrendering, and that's what we don't like. Okay, but then I'm not in control. And I'm like, how are you not in control? You are in control. You have just surrendered your will to God. That's what you've done. You know, if I surrender, that means that I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do that. But listen, if that's going to make you go to hell, if that's going to cause you that whatever that you're desiring is going to cause you to get out of right relationship, listen, surrender your will, because in your will, you know, that's your choice. And we don't understand that God is trying to change things about our choices, because the choices that we made in the past wasn't good for us. The things that we've done in the past, when we were not on the Lord's side, it caused us pain. It caused us, you know, to lose a lot. It's just, people don't understand that surrendering your will to the Lord, when you put Him in control, listen, you can take your hands off the wheel, because He got it. You know what I mean?
How about this? Now, he has it, but here's the beauty of it. But He gives it back to you and says, now make your choices based on our relationship. Based on what you know about me. Based on how rightly related you are to me, I'm giving it back to you, because guess what? I gave y'all, when I put y'all here, even in your daddy Adam, in your Adamic nature that you have, I gave you that. It's called dominion. I'm not going to make your choices. I want to be the reason that you choose what you choose, because spirit is in you, and you now make your choices based on my spirit being in you and your relationship to my spirit and my word. But it's still your choice, okay?
Your choice. All right, bro, we got a few minutes. Come on. What do you want to see for your life in 2021? What do you want to see? What do you want to see in your life that the Lord do for you in your life?
That's an easy question for me to answer tonight, Ethel, today, because for the past 3 days or evenings, I've had the opportunity, you know, being here in. We haven't said it before, but I am in Bakersfield, California, people. And for the past week, we have had, believe it or not, okay, even against the mandate of the state government here in Bakersfield, California, and I will say with the endorsement of our local government, okay, and there's a lesson there. There has been a revival, an old-fashioned tent revival. Tonight is the last week. It was for originally for 3 days. It got extended to 5 days. Evangelist and prophet Mario Murillo with Living Proof. The revival has been here in Bakersfield, and I've been there the last 3 days, and I'll be there tonight finishing it out. And where do I see my man? I want more of that for 2021, okay? Because we have just been praising and worshiping, and the Holy Spirit has been moving miraculously and powerfully, okay? And this man has a word. This man has a word for believers, and it's straight. It's there's no... Oh, none of that fancy trimming and, you know, the same old sayings. You know what I'm saying? You know, none of that. It's just straight talk from God's word. And the Holy Spirit and the anointing on this man and his wife is amazing. And the Spirit of God is moving and people are getting healed. And I'm in total agreement that this is actually going to put our community here on the national limelight. I say to you, as I believe the plans for the, for this revival, what he's doing is he's speaking to California. He's going up and down the 99 and the 5 and focusing on the valley. Cause you all know, you know, California and the reputation. You know, but that reputation changes. There is a line of demarcation that divides the coast from the San Joaquin Valley. Okay, and there is, you know, Kern County, for example. Let me put Kern. Hey, props to Kern County, Bakersfield on the map. We are believers like nobody's business. This city was founded by a strong believer, Colonel Baker, back in the day. And he gave this town to God, and we are taking it. We've never relinquished it, but we're just going to take it and grow it and expand it up and down the 99. And that's what, you know, Ethel, you know, as a matter of fact, my sister, you may have to take care of mama so I can join the crusade.
Yeah, okay. All right,
we're putting our business out there now.
So we are approaching 155. I thank you for being with us today. This is Old Fashioned Gospel Radio. We thank you for being with us today. God bless you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. God bless you.